Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't with it. A trust is lost for the news. Every night for Hallis in your ears.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have not had an episode in...
Guess who's back?
I don't know how long.
Back again.
I was here during that time. We haven't recorded since, when was it? November 17th?
November 11th was the last time we dropped an episode. And usually that's like off-season type of distance between episodes. We apologize.
We'd like to apologize for that lack of consistency. Yeah. It was very hectic, traveling to several places to cover the Bears, and then coming back, and then
Holidays.
Scott having to go to LA and then come back and then go to Detroit.
I'm covering the Clippers now.
Scott had a couple Clippers. It's just so much stuff happening that we never had a chance to sit back and do another pod. So this is episode 188 of 7 Hollis. Unfortunately, since we last talked, there's not much to talk about.
Nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed. Shout out to our patrons on Patreon. You obviously can see the video of us, and I pray that you all saw my post-game video. I really didn't want to do it, you know? I was sitting down in the press box. My boy Herb was asleep. Herb was in that boy slumped. Bears were down like 33-14 at that time or some shit like that. He was just like, man, bro, I want to take a nap myself. This game is boring. This game is terrible. Even when we got to the press room, Herb was like, I ain't got nothing to ask these people, man.
I was about to say, like, what was the... Like, I even from watching the interviews on YouTube, it felt like there was, like, no energy there. Like, nobody wanted to be there.
Side note, Bears had better food today, which is hilarious.
What did they have today?
They had hot dogs, chicken sandwiches, burgers, and some few other stuff. And
oh, wow. So they have that when I'm not there.
Yeah. It was good. Chicken sandwiches was banging.
They need to
I know for COVID reasons, they still don't want to serve open food. Normally, there'd be open food. They don't want to serve it. So I understand why everything is pre-wrapped and pre-packaged. So, but I did see the food that they were serving to the suites, and I was like, I see cupcakes. I don't understand why cupcakes aren't here.
And you get an ice cream machine like Staples Center.
They do. I'm gonna donate one. But anyway, not much has changed since you all last talked to us. You all last heard us, and we last talked to you all. Justin Fields obviously is dealing with a rib injury, so he missed the last two games. Unsure if he'll play. I would love for him to play in Lambeau, you know. I expect him to get stumped by the Packers, but a Green Bay win always does good to the soul. But that's not what I'm expecting. Luckily Scott wrote a rundown for us, because yes, if there was no rundown, I'd be sitting here like,
what the fuck are we going to talk about?
So what's going on, guys? How we feeling?
Yeah.
Luckily Scott has a rundown for us that I have to literally go back and look for. So
let's just talk about this and what I got on my rundown. Let's talk about the wild 2 weeks of drama, because it's like these last couple weeks have gone by. They've been the longest 2 weeks ever. Like, honestly, the last 2 weeks, not just with the Bears, but I feel like in life. And that's maybe because we've been doing all this moving around and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in three different time zones. Like, this is the first time in like a month and a half where I don't have to go out of town this week. So, so it's like a lot of shit kind of feel like it's been forever. But so you go from this team. Last time we talked to you guys was the Monday Night Football game. We actually recorded that in our hotel in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And
shout out to the dedication to get that done.
Shout out to us. So we did that there, and that was the game that we lost. But it felt like we won because of how great Justin looked on prime time against a pretty good defense.
Yeah.
So that was that. And then, of course, bye week came. And then after bye week was the game against the Ravens. Yeah. Game against the Ravens. We come back for this. And this is a game where I remember being at Soldier Field, and remember everybody was trying to figure out if Lamar Jackson was going to play or whatever. And we found out he wasn't going to play. Tyler Huntley was going to play. And it was just one of those games where it was just like, I was like, okay, we should win this. Even without Lamar, I think me, you, and Herb was like, yeah, the Bears should be able to win this. And then Justin got hurt at the top of the third quarter, but he did not have a good half, a good first half. Like, he did not have a good first half before he got hurt. But, of course, I was just like, all right, well, let's see if he can turn up in a second. Like, you know, he's a rookie. That's what rookies do. But he got hurt before he was able to do that. And then here come Andy Dalton and, you know, a little Hail Mary, joint to Marquise Goodwin. It looks like they're going to win. Me, you, and Herb, all three of us, we just up that pitch. Like, no, they don't deserve to get away with this.
Yeah.
Like, at all, with this performance they put on to today. And here comes Tyler Huntley. Drive in our ass up and down the field.
Their ass, sir.
Whatever, nigga. To drive it all up and down the field to get the fucking win. And then after that, it was like that Tuesday. That's when the rumor hit. The rumor that was had Bears Twitter in a tilt was that.
What happened to Conkle? Did he ever say, hey, nigga, I was tripping?
No, he went on Cap Show and he said he still believes in the source.
Okay.
He still believes in the source. And that's going to get to my point in a minute. But so basically, you know, he came out and said that Matt Nagy was going to get fired after the Thanksgiving game, no matter if the Bears won or lost. And everybody started talking about this shit now. And of course, that was like the only thing we were looking forward to when we went to Detroit for this game. And the Bears won barely, 16-14. By the way, shout out to the Minnesota Vikings. I don't hear shit from you Vikings fans, bro. You cannot let that. First of all, what kind of
shout out more is a you niggas stink?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you know, I don't understand what type of defense that corner was playing on that anyway on that last fucking play, but whatever. But so it's like that thing just had Bears Twitter in a frenzy, man. The way it was handled, everybody was talking about it. How you didn't hear nothing from Ryan Pace. We still haven't heard anything from Ryan Pace. George McCaskey talking to the players and not to the media. And then just how Matt Nagy came to the podium on Thanksgiving, acting like the team won this one for him, when in reality, Andy was up there like, no, Matt wanted me to speak to the team. So it was just like it was two different sides, and like all of us were trying to get answers out of them. You know, and they were talking to us like we were the feds. So you go from that to, you know, a couple days later. A couple days later, nobody even talk about the fire anymore. And then, of course, we just saw today with this ridiculous loss. I can't even say ridiculous because we knew it was going to come. But this loss to the fucking Arizona Cardinals, who are the first team to get to 10 wins now. And it was just a wild one. And I will say this from this one thing, that, and this I said on, I'm not going to hold you. I'm not a Nagy guy whatsoever. I like you all fucking know, but I really felt like the Bears did, they left them out to dry when those things, when that rumor came out. Like, and that's why I feel like Knoppel, that's how you pronounce his last name?
That was Conkle.
Conkle. That's why I feel like
looking down, I'm putting in parlays. So understand the lay always comes first.
But I thought Conkle's report was true. And I really feel, and typical, I do feel like the Bears were going to fire Matt Nagy. I do. But then it came out and they had to save face. That's 100% what I believe happened. Now, of course, we don't have any confirmation on this. I don't think we'll ever know. But that's what we, unless, and, you know, until actually when Nagy gets fired. But I've gone from, okay, Nagy's going to get fired, Pace is going to retain his job, to now I'm like, I'm damn near 100% sure both of them niggas are gone. Now, there's a problem that you said on the post-game video that the McCaskies is still here, which I feel like is like, we can't do nothing about that because they're never going to sell the team. I don't think.
No.
At least not anytime soon. No. So it's like, what we can change is the full cleanup of getting Nagy out of here, getting Pace out of here, moving Ted Phillips out of football operations. So what's your thought on these last couple weeks? And just what you seen, you were there today, I wasn't there today. Like, what's the vibe you feel in the organization? And just everybody, the media, everybody. I kind of feel like everybody's just like, let's just get this last five games the fuck over with.
That's really what it is. Everybody's tired. You know what I mean? Nobody really wants to sit through this anymore. It's like we're playing. This is a facade that's going on right now. You know, this was the first time this season where there was not an immediate question for Matt Nagy at the podium. He talked. There wasn't an immediate question for most people. David Montgomery walked to the podium and was like, "All right, so who's gonna be first?" He had to kick it off because we were sitting there like, what do we have to ask? How did you all feel when that terrible game happened? And with Matt Nagy, usually it's hard for me to get a question of Matt Nagy, and I typically don't attempt because I do not like the answers he gives. Now, of course, there's always the journalistic side that says you can get it out of him if you just press him more, if you do this and that. I understand that. But I typically don't get much out of him, so I just let it go. I was like, no big deal. I don't really ask questions. Today, I just asked because no one else was speaking up. Everybody was sitting there like, and then Nagy was like, And then I don't know if that was Ben. I'm not sure who it was. Who was typically my assistant. About to say, any more questions? Because we were just sitting like, what are we doing? You know what I'm saying? What's the point of asking you a question if it's, we got to figure out the whys. We got to do a better job. Like, it's just, there's nothing keeping us in within the conversation. This is boring. You know what I mean? And it just felt like, a deflated press corps. And it felt like a man who's he knows he's about to get fired. Like, he didn't seem frustrated or sad. He just was sort of, you know, like, I accept the inevitable. It's like Godzilla's about to, not what was that Godzilla, Godzilla's anti-hero, but it's like a kaiju is about to come and eat you. And you're like, well, nigga, that's it. Can't outrun this dude. He's clearly thousands of feet tall. It just is what it is. And so that's what it felt like during that post game. You know, someone like Herb, you know, Herb Howard, who arguably I think asked the best questions amongst reporters, didn't want to talk to him. Of course, he still got great, good questions there, but he just was like, I ain't got nothing to say to these dudes, man. And so we had to ask the difficult, how did this feel? How did this feel? The only really good interview was David Montgomery. He said, I'm a self-starter, and I just got to find motivation. So I followed it up with, if you're a self-starter, how is that going to rub off on the players? And he went into an impassioned speech where I was like, man, I'd run through a brick wall for this dude. I truly, you know, you can see the passion in this man's eyes and how much he loves the game. Unfortunately, that doesn't translate to victories. So, you know, that's just what it is right now. It's just deflated. And, you know, in my post-game video, I just wanted to remind everybody, the reason you're going through this is the cut because of the McCaskies. And that's what happens when you're in a leadership position. That's what happens when you're the leader of a team, the leader of an organization. You hire the players. You hire the people who hire the players. You know, you hire the coaches, you do all of those things. So the success and the failure is on you. It's the same as in freaking military. You know, the success and the failure ain't going to fall on a lance corporal. You know, the what happened wasn't his fault, his or her fault. It's going to fall on those captains. It's going to fall on those majors, those colonels, those generals, the people who run the show. And unfortunately, the McCaskies are the people who run the show right now. And I'm not sure they know what they're doing, or they won't get out of their own way, put someone who knows football in to then make the decisions and get the people in there. I feel like it's just the bottom line. And what I saw today that was really interesting is just an empty Soldier Field. By halftime, 20% of the people left. It wasn't full to begin with. They said there were 60,000 tickets sold or something like that, or 60,000 tickets. I forgot the exact wording. Basically, there were 60,000 tickets bought. It wasn't 60,000 people there. Maybe 30,000, maybe 40,000, if that. In addition to that, at halftime, it got even less. And by the fourth quarter, there's been anybody there. You know what I'm saying? Anyone even boos. The Fire Nagy chant lasted for a couple seconds because people are just tired. You know, the pregame tailgate looked bored. It's like, you know, what do you do with this team anymore? And this is the product that the Bears have given you all. It's the product that the Bears have given the city of Chicago. And it's shit, bro. You know what I'm saying? We are in 2021, a couple weeks away from heading to 2022, and we're still trying to find an offensive culture within the Bears. That's a shame. The Bears should be ashamed of themselves as an organization. But it won't change until their pockets hurt. Or maybe, you know, it's just like the Bulls. The Bulls went through hell. You know, I look back how much I've went through as a Bulls fan. I don't know how I didn't get pissed and stop. Well, I did stop watching. So
I can't say
I didn't, but
that's why they changed, because people stopped coming to United Center.
But bottom line, so maybe it will take Bears fans doing that. Bears fans are fiercely loyal, more loyal than any. If I want to say the most loyal fans in Chicago are probably Bears fans and Cubs fans. Actually, maybe Cubs fans than Bears fans. I'm not sure how you would rank them.
It's definitely Bears fans.
The Bears did win in 85. Cubs hadn't won a century before.
Yeah, but that was still, it's a sports city. It's a sports city.
They're both sports.
I mean, it's a football city as well. I mean, not sports city. It's a football city.
But the Bears' loyalty is to an unhealthy situation, not an unhealthy level. When I was coming out the tunnel and I was, you know, getting my tripod out, putting my camera up there, I was like, oh, God, who was sending this? This is terrible. Seats wet. You got to have a poncho. You can barely see. You got to wipe your glasses off. Your lens is fogging up. And you got to watch trash football. 7 points in the first half.
Okay. I think everybody is just fed up. Now I'm going to, this is a report that me and Joe have been going back and forth on for the last couple hours about whether it happened or not. But I believe my man's, because he was sitting behind the fucking bench.
Your man was lying, nigga.
But there was some commotion going on in the crowd, and I guess somebody, one of the fans, called Matt Nagy a bitch. And it got Justin pissed off, and he started yelling at the fans, basically saying, don't do that type of shit. And the coach had to pull Justin to the side. And Andy Dalton, after he threw his third or fourth pick, had to speak to Justin and be like, nah, man, you know what I'm saying? You can't do that to the fans. And also Eddie Jackson, allegedly, somebody told Eddie Jackson, you robbed Chicago without a gun. And Bojack was begging security to have him come down. So, and it was different. Joe says he didn't see it happening. I granted Joe was up high. I'm guaranteeing you didn't pay attention to everything going on the sidelines. My man's was sitting right behind the bench. So I'm going to believe him that happened.
I'm glad you think so.
I'll tell you. I mean, this is him on the line right now. He just called. I said he called right now. I'm going to get him on?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not saying, because it happens all the time in NFL games. People heckle players, which I never understood heckling players unless the player was selling. The player was selling. What I mean by selling is, you know, oh, this person has money on the game, that type of selling. Okay. Alexa, no. So Alexa, stop. What the? I don't know how my Echo thought it was time to play Taylor Swift, who I've never heard a song from in my life. Anyway.
Yeah, I bet you haven't.
I literally have never heard a full Taylor Swift song. I can't name a Taylor Swift song. Name one.
I can't, nigga.
Exactly. I don't know any Taylor Swift song, but anyway. Yeah, I wouldn't put it past Eddie Jackson. It seems odd of Justin Fields to want to start something with a fan. You know, he now, of course, he's not used to it being the star of his high school team, being the young prodigy in Georgia, then being the star at Ohio State, arguably the best quarterback they ever had, we've ever had. But that doesn't, you know, Nagy's a bitch and then he wants to go fight. Now, of course, you say he's in street clothes, so maybe he had more time to listen. I don't know. Just seems improbable to me. And I saw him literally sitting to literally in the front, right on the sideline. So if he went back and said something, it probably was out the side of his mouth, literally from where he was. I can't see him walking up to where the
I'm telling you what was told. He actually
he just walked up.
He just texted me saying he was going to explain what happened.
He walked up.
That's what he said.
Walked up to where they were.
I'm gonna call him real quick.
He walked up to where they were.
I'm gonna call him real quick.
No, I don't want to have a conversation.
I just want to talk to him real quick. This
and I want to chill, yeah, nigga.
We've been having getting these niggas a partner in a month. They gonna get enough content on here, so I at least want to see if he's gonna pick up the phone, because he just texted me 2 seconds ago, and now he ain't gonna pick up the phone, niggas.
Your call
is. All right. Anyway, but yeah. So that's what he said. I believe my dog.
Like I said, I find it very hard to believe that Justin Fields went toward the stands like he wanted beef. How many times Nagy's called that in the game? I hear from the press box daily. How much more would I expect to hear from people who are on the 100 level, the first five rows? I highly doubt he went toward. Now, he could he have said something? Sure. Went toward the stands?
And wanted said to go up there? No, not go up. But, you know, go up and talk to him. Like, walk to him. He was behind the shit. He was right there.
So, here's the stands. Here's Justin Fields.
That's what he told me.
So, here, let me point it out. So, here's the stands normally are. Here's where the players normally are. So, he moved from here to here to talk. Or maybe he just motioned back here and said some stuff. Now, if he did this, went to where, like, the seats were, where the players sit, I can absolutely believe that.
Hold on. Yo, Lotto.
Yeah.
Yo, so I got you on the pod right now. Can you tell us what happened? Because my brother still thinks he don't. You know, right now? Huh?
You said you got me on the pod right now?
Yeah, right now. You're live on the 7 Night the House podcast.
So this is what happened. We was over there, and the whole time, the fans in my section kept saying that Nagy was a bitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just kept calling him a bitch. And then these black – wait, I'm saying racist and shit. Anyway, these black dudes came down, and they was talking to Bojack, and they was like, you robbed the city of money. Fuck you. You robbed the city without a gun. You're a fucking bitch. They was just going in on him. And he was, and security came over there. So he's like, nah, let him come to the field. Let him come to the field. Because they act like they wanted to get on the field, right?
Mm.
So then Dalton throws the interception. After the interception, they start saying it again. Nagy's a bitch. They going in. And one of the coaches came over, because they've been saying this all game, but one of the coaches, I guess, was fed up, came over to, like, right in front of the where we was at, and he was like, sit down, shut up, and if you keep it going, I'm going to get you escorted out of here, right? Mm-hmm. So they were like, man, fuck you. They just kept going, right, these white guys, right?
Yeah.
So that's when Justin came over, and Justin was like, what you say? What did you say? And he kept saying that. And that's when the coach grabbed him and was like, nah, pulling him back to over. But Justin, I'm talking about, I was right behind where the benches were,
mm-hmm.
but he still had to walk a distance over to us. Like, he was right in front of us. I could have touched him.
Yeah.
And the coaches was like, the one coach that was already over there was like pulling him away as he was like, what'd you say? What did you say? And then the fans shut up because they were Justin Fields fans. They was just like, and then the rest of the game, they kept saying shit like, yeah, don't be too loud. Justin might hear us and stuff like that.
Well, thank you for the clarification.
Yeah.
Because we just wanted to hear the whole thing. But
my girl who knows nothing about football, she was like, when he walked over, she was like, oh my God, it's Justin Fields walking over. And she knows nothing about football.
Man, that's what I was trying to explain. But I'm glad we have some clarification now in the story. But I'm going to hit you when we're done recording, bro.
No doubt.
And happy birthday, dog.
Thank you. Appreciate
happy 65th.
My brother said happy 65th. Right. So,
nigga, you a liar. How dare you besmirch a great Buckeye? No, I believe it. I believe it now. You explained the story like Justin wanted, like war. And I was like, that just don't sound like him.
You said like, I didn't explain it like that.
He was like, nigga, like, it's like, oh, I heard you niggas want to scrap, cuz. That's what you made him sound like. And I'm like, that don't sound like him. Now, him motioning, sure, that's a young man and him doing that. That makes sense. Eddie Jackson makes even more sense.
Yeah, the Bojack, 100%. So, 100%.
I mean, I feel him, yet I don't feel him. These are NFL fans. This is not college. College fans are fiercely loyal to their team. Why? Because, I mean, think about it. Fans who go to these universities, outside of some fans like me who just, you know, watched Ohio State since I was a child. The first football game I ever saw was an Ohio State game. And so I've been a fan since then. But I don't have the same university connection that other people have. And since I don't have the same university connection, I can't know what they feel. But the people who grew up really in college, you know, you're spending 4 years there. You're fiercely loyal to a university. Hub Arkush, I'm guessing he's a Michigan man because he had his Michigan shoes on today. People who grew up in these universities are fiercely loyal to them. I'm not loyal to freaking Columbia or Roosevelt or Trinity. You know, not really. So, but I can understand him not having experienced that from fans who love him at Ohio State and probably wouldn't say that. There is, of course, he said that he did hear racial epithets at Georgia, which also makes sense if you're a backup quarterback. I don't understand why you'd say it. It's just some random drunk dude. But I'm wondering what he heard that made him want to say what you say. But come on now. Just got to leave that alone. Just got to leave that alone. They're drunk. We're white.
We're all frustrated. But that's racist. The point. Everybody's frustrated. And like you said, Justin's not used to losing, nigga.
Yeah.
He's not used to losing.
Unfortunately, nigga, you're going to have to get used to it.
You're a bear now.
It's not even that, bro. It's the National Football League. The only people who go from – there has never been one player who went from not being used to losing – to then just never having to deal with losing. Think of it. Think of one player who had the success that he
in college too,
from high school, college to the NFL, who dominated in both college and NFL and winning, and may have lost five games total in their collegiate career to just, you know, having instant success or just straight up success consistently.
You got a good point.
You know what I'm saying? It don't happen. Now, you can talk about Tom Brady during his time in whatchamacallit, the team up north.
Michigan.
But them niggas his first year were 5-3. You want to know who dominated that division, nigga? The Buckeyes. So I got a message for the team up north.
Who dominated this year?
I got a message for the team up north.
No. Who dominated this year?
I have nothing to say. Ohio State fans, shut up. We got beat badly by Michigan. It ain't rivalry week. Ain't rivalry week. Rivalry week. The Michigan. They beat us. They beat the crap out of Iowa. I think they're gonna get mollywhopped by Georgia. But maybe they'll surprise us. Please don't let Harbaugh become the coach. I cannot stand it. I don't want a Wolverine coaching a Buckeye. It's unholy. It's sacrilegious.
And on top of that, I don't want Harbaugh in the fucking NFL again. Yeah. Everybody's like, look what he did with the Niners. That was a fucking decade ago, literally.
Yeah.
Literally. So it's no point.
And so I'm just trying to see how Michigan was 8-0 in the conference that year. In his starting year, they were first in the AP poll. They win. What do they do? I don't know what they did that year. Scheduling results. There we go. They won the Rose Bowl his year. I want to say that was his second. No, he wasn't even starting that year. So yeah, he only started his junior and senior. That's how you know you trash when nigga you. Play every single year. You play to your senior year. But so I'm looking at his junior year, his first year starting, and their scheduling results. They went to the Citrus Bowl versus Arkansas and they won. But nothing crazy jumping out. We're in a college football semifinal every year. You're in the national championship. You know, nothing to the level of Justin Fields. I have no clue what Tom Brady did in high school. But the level which Justin Fields was winning was top tier.
He's a child prodigy. He's not used to this shit. Like you said, he's got to get used to it. And he's young. Wait, what's Justin, 22? Like, so he's going to react every now and then. But, you know, and like you said, everybody's fed the fuck up. The fan base is fed the fuck up. Players are fed the fuck up. Everybody fed the fuck up. Feel like the only people who ain't fed up is the fucking McCaskies. And like you said, that's the fucking problem. Now, here's a question.
Play better in the Rose Bowl. So you had two bowl wins, but it's BCS. I mean, Rose Bowl is a big Citrus Bowl. You had a bowl win. So, I mean, you had a successful college career, but you've lost probably a combination of at least like four. I mean, at least like 10 games. That's not the level Justin Fields lost. What did he lose? Three games? I mean, during the regular season? Not a lot. It's not a lot. In high school, several state championships, you know. And that's the same with Trevor Lawrence, and I guess that was the fear with Trevor Lawrence. How many national titles did he win? One or two?
I don't know.
One or two, and then coming off of, I want to say they won every year but one in his high school starting. You're going to have to get used to, it ain't that no more. You're a Jaguar now. It stinks. And so Justin's going to have to, and that's immaturity on his part. But remember, this is not immaturity. Like he's an immature person. No. It's just that's human growth. And right now he's experiencing the fact that he has to grow up in that area. They fans heckling, bro. They gonna always heckle. That's just what fans do. They don't know what you do on the field, and they don't like.
I do like how he, you know, set them straight, and everybody didn't want to piss off Justin after that. And they're like, all right, "We gonna."
That makes total sense.
That tells you how much respect they have. Makes
total sense.
Yeah.
And so he also said, you know, he doesn't know, obviously, but Justin, if you're listening, I don't think you are. But if you are, the fans got respect for you. Now, remember, their respect is fickle. Just always remember that.
Oh, for sure.
So don't think that you'll have it forever, nigga. You have to win a Super Bowl to be with that forever.
He ain't got to do it. If he's a franchise quarterback, we would defend this nigga. Well, now, if he wins the Super Bowl, he's going to surpass Michael Jordan. A lot of people not from Chicago think that's Hyper Bowl, but listen here. If Justin Fields is a franchise quarterback and he wins a Super Bowl, I'm telling you right now, he's going to surpass Michael Jordan in this city. Period. Football just means more, and we've never had a quarterback.
Yeah.
Then he'd be Teflon.
Yeah.
85 Bears still don't pay for fucking food. And they not quarterbacks. Yeah. That's all I'm saying about that. But so here's a question I want to talk about. Now, we all know about Matt Nagy's hot seat. Are you officially on my side that you think Ryan Pace is a goner?
Yeah.
And what made you come to that conclusion? I think with me, his radio silence during this situation with Nagy supposed to be getting fired, he hasn't said anything. An active general manager would have said something. An active general manager would have been the one sent to talk to the team and not the fucking chairman.
Say it again.
That's what I said. To me, with two things that made me think he's on a hot seat. One is how silent he was when the rumors of Nagy being fired came out. He didn't deny him. He didn't say none of that shit. They sent the chairman to talk about that shit. Usually that's the general manager's job. The general manager go talks to the team, not the chairman. And you really haven't heard anything from him. So to me, just from my perspective, I could be wrong, but from my perspective, that means he's in the same hot seat as Matt Nagy.
Yeah, I would have to say so. There's a period in time where I thought he was safe. Now I don't really think he's safe. I don't see how you can't fire both. You know, what sense does it make to fire one but leave the person who hired him in charge and then hire the person before him in charge?
Like this, you can't give him his third coach just to be his third coach.
It's you can't do it. No, I don't see it. I used to think, well, you know, he drafted Justin. You were lucky Justin was there. You were lucky Atlanta's stupid. But outside of that, no, you know, any smart team would have picked up Justin. I'm not picking a tight end. I don't care how good Kyle Pitts is. You're a tight end. I'm not picking you up. Matt Ryan does not have long left in the league. I'm going to get my future, let him sit behind for a year or two, then I'm putting him in. So, unfortunately, they're stupid, and that allowed Justin to drop, and he did what any smart quarterback did because the Giants are stupid as well and apparently didn't think, you know, well, we can't give him Daniel Jones. What's Daniel Jones' third year?
Yeah, Daniel Jones stinks.
Daniel Jones was doo-doo, but whatever.
So, over these last couple of games, we only got 5 more weeks here. We got the Green Bay Packers. And by the way, they still have till Tuesday to flex that game out. Tuesday is the limit. And there's 4 potential playoff-type caliber games next week. So I'm really hoping they flex that game to noon, get that ass whooping out of there real quick. I'm sure you and our cousin Peyton, y'all want to cover that game and then get the fuck back to Chicago so you ain't got to spend the night in bumfuck Wisconsin. So I'm pretty sure y'all would love for that game to be flexed to noon. And we can just get the shit over. I don't want to be on national TV twice. I know what Aaron Rodgers is going to do to us next week is going to be unholy. Now, the week after is Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football doesn't get flexed out. So, you're going to have to watch them against the Vikings, which is going to be a funny-ass game because the Vikings ain't shit either. Then you got Seattle in Seattle, and then you come home against the Giants, and then you close in Minnesota. I really only see one win in there realistically, and that's against the Giants. So, as a Bears fan, What can we tell Bears fans to watch over these next 5 games? Like, what's to me, I'm gonna say not even to get, watch for December 13th because that's with the new Rooney Rule. You're able to start interviewing people, and you can cut coaches earlier.
Yeah,
I'm like, cut that nigga now. Get rid of both of them now. Get a head start on that now because it's gonna be 4 or 5 coaching vacancies. Now, granted, I think by far that the Bears will have the most attractive landing out of all of them just because they have a young quarterback in place.
Yeah.
And that's a huge thing. Now, and I'm signing up right now to get my hopes up about Sean Payton. You know, we heard a little small rumors this week. I know it's not going to happen probably, but I'm here to get my hopes up. I'm 100% here for that. So what would you tell fans to look forward to the next month of this season?
Nothing. I mean, what am I supposed to say you look forward to? Hey, watch Justin throw some good passes, make some plays. You know, if he plays, if not, you know, he's not shut down for the year. I don't know what they would think. It's 5 games left, and if his ribs are still bothering him, why do you want to?
I think if his ribs ain't feeling better by next Sunday, shut him down for the rest of the year.
What's the point? Especially if they lose.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Ain't no if.
So when they lose, ain't no point. Now, if he feels good to go, put him in. You know what I'm saying? But watch this team crash and burn with a shitty QB and Andy Dalton. You know what I'm saying?
And by the way, the overall plan of them wanting to run with Dalton before they got lucky with Fields is even more egregious when you think about it.
I mean, the first interception, his fault. Were you throwing high and tight, high and far on the left, on the oh, you know, over on your left shoulder, your right-handed quarterback on your left shoulder? Why are you throwing that? Was that Jakeem Grant? Was that Darnell Mooney?
I can't remember.
Why are you throwing it to him? He's not a tall player. Tip interception. The one to Cole Kmet, and it's just on Cole Kmet. It wasn't a good pass either. There's no reason Cole Kmet should have had to go to the ground. Cole Kmet should be able to catch that in stride, but it still was bad. What was the third interception?
The third one was just laughable. I feel like two of them were just laughable.
Oh, yeah, the one that was tipped, but there was no one in that area.
Yeah.
You know, not that there's no one in that area, but that in that's that area right there was going to be picked off. That was absolute. It was going to be picked off. And if it wouldn't be picked off, it was going to be batted down. It was a bad area. And then on that screen, you get picked off by a big man on a screen. No. Three of those picks were terrible decisions. You know what I'm saying? Just bad decisions. You can be okay with a rookie making rookie mistakes, not a 10-year veteran. You know what I'm saying? So them wanting to go with Andy Dalton is hilarious because he showed he's not the quarterback for you. He's not. You know, and if there was, they wouldn't have scored 14 points again if they weren't gifted a drive by the Cardinals. Cardinals start tripping, you know. You know, if they, of course, get into the swing of things, I think that'd be better. But they started tripping with a lot of the plays they were running. I'm like, nigga, what are y'all doing? You know what I'm saying? Part of me was like, just finish this off. Finish this game off so I can leave here, do my questions, do my post-game video, and call it a day. Somebody's honking outside.
Yeah, some assholes outside honking.
But I don't understand the concept of thinking Andy Dalton is the future. So, but the only thing I think you look for, maybe you see what Tevin Jenkins looks like.
Which Matt Nagy said he's going to be used as depth for the rest of the season. Nigga's a fucking idiot, man. He's a fucking idiot.
I don't understand.
The season's over, bro. Put him in there. Let him get some reps. Jason Peters is old. The season's not going anywhere. Give him some fucking reps. Talk about some depth. I'm just so fed up with the dude. You know what play kind of like summarized the whole Matt Nagy era? It was that drive right before halftime. 4th and 2. You're getting your ass kicked. Your 3-8 record or whatever the fuck. 4-8 record. 4-7 record. And you decide to punt on 4th and 2 with like a minute left and a half. It's pussy shit, man. It's pussy shit. I'm tired of it.
Like I said, man, the culture, I'm sure the players like him, but the culture has not changed within the Bears. You know, as I said in the video, they know how to make a defense. They know how to make a running back, but they can't produce an offense to save their life. They're just not a good organization. I mean, they can't produce an offense to save their life. They're not a good organization.
And that's the sad part. Like, yeah, when one or both eventually do get fired in like a month from now, of course I'm be happy, but I'm not going to be throwing a fucking party because it's like now, can we actually bring the right fucking people in? Everybody's like, who's the best candidate? Nigga, I don't know. It's outside of Sean Payton, if he's actually a candidate, there's nobody who's a for sure. Oh, that's a slam dunk. No. All these cats are unproven. So, you know, unless the only time I'm like, oh, that's a great hire is if we get Sean Payton. If somehow, some way, Sean Payton gets out of his deal and he decides to come back to Illinois and coach the Bears. Then that, I was like, oh, nigga, Sean Payton with Justin Fields?
Oh, then I'd have high hopes.
I'd have, nigga, extreme high hopes. With new GM, I'd be elated. Now, anybody else, now, as much as I won't kill him more or something like that, ain't none of these dudes proven. I don't know who the fuck's going to pan out, and I'm not going to act like I do know.
And I've seen freaking whatchamacallit. I've seen Cowboys fans said, are you kidding me, Kellen Moore? Because you all were crowning him the first – not Cowboys fans themselves. People were crowning them the first three games of the season. I'm like, man, just calm down. I was like, he is a new play caller or relatively new play caller. Let's just wait and see. Let's wait and see how he does instead of crowning him saying, oh, he should become a coach. It's the problem with the NFL. They're so ready to move on. They're so ready to find the next person. They're so ready for this person to be developed. It just takes some time. Like, it even looks like Jalen Hurts found, not today, obviously, Minshew was playing. It looked like Jalen Hurts found footing and is a quarterback. Will he? I don't think so. But who knows? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he threw three picks before he got hurt.
You have to
patience. Find... NFL is the league of patience.
Yes, the fans and sometimes coaches are not patient, though.
And I think it's also like that because NFL doesn't really have any rebuilds. I don't believe in rebuilds in NFL. It's all retool. Like NBA, MLB, rebuilds can last for fucking years. Like how many times the NFL has so much different turnover where a team is ass for 2 years straight and then they're all of a sudden a contender the next year. So it's really just the place of retools, man. And that's where fans get frustrated. And as Bears fans, we're extremely frustrated. I tweeted today, I was like, I can't wait till I get to a point in my life where I'm not surprised when the Bears score touchdowns. It's been like that my whole life. My whole life. And I don't like that feeling.
Yeah, it's like when we were watching him, Justin Fields, the first game versus the Lions, and the vertical game was just cracking. They're just launching. I was like, huh, that's weird. You know what I mean? There's so much wrong with the Bears. The receivers can't get open. They don't know how to run routes. You got speedy guys, but don't know how to use the speedy guys. It's just a cluster. You know what I'm saying? The only reason they're in this game is because of David Montgomery. David Montgomery is the reason you're in the
Who
game.
Who all you dumb niggas wanted to trade just because Khalil Herbert had one good game?
Because it's the idea within the NFL right now that you can get a running back off the street and they'll produce. I'm here to tell you, no, you can't. If you have a generational quarterback, well, it probably don't really matter because you can sit back and let them throw. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes will probably throw anybody back there. You know what I'm saying?
And that's probably what the offense is taking off this year because they need a fucking running back.
But, you know, you can have the greatest line in the game. You still need a running back that can go through holes. You still need a running back that can block. You still need a running back that can catch. And so many teams do not have that. The top teams in the league still have good running backs. You can say, oh, man, they're injured. Yeah, nigga, that happens. Like, I guess been every year where all top five running backs been injured. No, they just got injured this year. Simple as that. But the idea that you can just pick up anybody is trash. Well, we saw Khalil did enough, so now we can go trade him and get some capital. But if the concept is that people are not going to pay him, they're not going to pay him. You're not going to get anything back for him. People are like, no, I ain't going to pay for that. Yeah. My thing is, I think running backs will start getting smaller deals. They'll start getting 2 to 3 year deals. I'm not giving them a 5 or 6 year deal no more. But you can't pick up anybody else. David Montgomery is a very good running back. I would give him a solid 3 year deal with some good money. But you got to pay for the results. And it's clear that there are not many running backs like him in the league.
Definitely. I also want the other thing is if any of you guys who feel like, oh, the Bears shouldn't have traded for Khalil Mack and any of that other dumb shit, just look at his defensive man without him.
Terrible.
It's like, and I don't know if that says more. It tells me two things. It tells me, one, that Ryan Pace has done a shit job acquiring talent. That one man should affect it this greatly. And two, that Khalil Mack is just that damn good at the same time. Like, Robert Quinn had another sack today. Robert Quinn has 12 sacks. I really cannot wait to see them two healthy next year together.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to help. But, you know, I think that's all we got for y'all today, man. I'm surprised we actually got to damn near 45 minutes.
We're sitting at 43 minutes. It's tough trying to talk about a team that is going nowhere.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
The Walking Dead.
The Lions have more to talk about than us today.
Yeah, they got a big win. I'm happy for Lions fans.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell, y'all deserve this.
Dan Campbell looks like a coach I'd want to play for. So
definitely.
But that's probably about it. But we gave you all 40 minutes of us trying our hardest. Matt Nagy is supposed to have availability tomorrow. I have not got an email saying that I was approved for it yet. You know, just for COVID reasons, you have to get approved every day. Haven't got anything yet. I don't think that's an omen or a sign of niggas getting fired. I just haven't received it yet.
But, I think December 13th is when I would start having my antennas.
Yeah, but we'll see. We'll see what's I'll be up there tomorrow. If so, if not, I'll be there Friday just to get prepared. I'll be in Lambeau. So, yeah, we'll see you all there. And there's nothing really to talk about. This team sucks. So anyway, thank you all for listening. Shout out to our Patreons, our patrons on Patreon. We appreciate y'all. And we are out and we will catch you all
next week.
We're doing a preview pod or?
Yes, we're doing a preview pod.
We're doing a preview pod. We'll try. We're going to try hard again, nigga.
I don't really know what to put on that preview pod.
We might just be playing Uno live and showing the results. So we'll holler at y'all.